We're ending the book of Romans, not quite today, but we're about to land this airship. We are in chapter 15, and it's a portion that you could easily read over and da-da-da-da-da, and you know, start the next book. But I'm not going to let you do that. At least I'm going to attempt. Romans chapter 15, I'd like to read 22 to 29, where he says, "For this reason, I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you." See, I'm not in Rome. He's not writing to me in Rome. So I can easily say this was for them back then. But there's some things to dredge out that are fantastic in here. "I hope to see you in passing and be helped on my way by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." What's fun to me about this particular passage is that Paul becomes a bit more personal, and we get to kind of step in and peek into his personal journal along the way. Some of you like to do that, so I'm going to appeal to you for the illustration. That journal is for me. And here he was sharing it with them, and now I'm peeking in, and I get to enjoy the blessings here as well. Yet there's more to learn. And in this, in fact, verse 22, I find four different areas to look into to gain a full impact of this passage. Three are in verse 22, and the fourth one is just afterward. So verse 22, "For this reason I have often been hindered from coming to you." Three different areas to consider as we go here. First of all, we need to remember the immediate context, since this flows out of verses 20 and 21. 20 says, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, that I might not build upon another's foundation. But it is, as it is written, those who had no news of him shall see. They who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I've often been hindered from coming to you." There was a task at hand, a call that was put upon Paul to preach the gospel where it had not been preached. "I really want to go to Rome," is what he's saying. "I've wanted to for a long time, but I'm not there yet." So accomplishing the task at hand. The second thing I dredge out of verse 22 is challenging you to recall the broader context. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. You remember where that is? It's been a while. Romans chapter 1, 13. I think we missed this at the beginning because we didn't jump ahead to this last verse that I just read. At the very beginning, in his introduction, verse 13, "And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you in Rome and have been prevented thus far." Now in chapter 15, he tells us why he's been prevented. "In order that I might obtain some fruit also, or among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks," and it's like he reaches out the utmost, "even to barbarians." They need to hear about Jesus too. Whoever the barbarian might be to you, by the way. "Both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus far, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So, in Rome. The second thing that I get out of this broader context is Paul had already revealed his heart to them, which included his intense desire to be there to disciple them. To, I would say, hang the flesh on the skeleton that they knew, as I shared last week. The broader picture, the fuller picture of who God is. The third thing I want to dredge out of verse 22, pretty important, where it says, "For this reason I've often been hindered." Verse 22 provides a window to learn about hindrances to God's work through us. And I find in the scriptures three areas of hindrances to God's work through us. Aside from our own personal choices to quit or get entangled in the affairs of this world. That's a whole other topic. Please go back to Acts chapter 16. One of the hindrances to God's work through us may be surprising to you. Chapter 16, verse 6. "And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, modern-day Turkey, having been forbidden by whom?" Huh? The Holy Spirit hindering the work of God through me, at least that's my concept. Here's what I am planning on doing. And the Holy Spirit says, First hindrance. Second hindrance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You won't be surprised. You've already guessed, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 18, "For we wanted to come to you in Thessalonica," northern part of Greece, "I, Paul, more than once, yet Satan thwarted us." Back up to verse 14, "For you, brethren, have become imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the utmost." Verse 18, Satan thwarted through people. Keep that one in mind. The last one is right here in verse 22. Romans 15, "For this reason," referring back to the task at hand, an obligation at hand, a commitment at hand. Maybe we can call that being responsible. Not being the quitter. And I certainly have known some of those in ministry. People as pastors, at least that's the labeling. Who for a period of time, great start, flash, and then they're gone. For whatever their reason. That's between them and God ultimately, and that group of people, and the next, and the next, and the next. Hindrances to the work of God through us. The Holy Spirit says no. And maybe it's a not yet. Satan hindering us. And then the tasks at hand hindering us. What's the importance of that? The importance came home to me in 2018 when my family was in Europe. And I was going to part company with them in London to go into India. And the family was coming home. and I got that texting message from Terry Pruitt, my partner that I was going to India with, who said, I'm deathly ill and cannot go. And I had just recently been teaching in Acts, and I remember the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia, at least right then. Is this the Holy Spirit saying, no, don't go? Then I remembered, oh yeah, Satan thwarts also. Is this Satan trying to throw a wrench into the machinery? What do I do? And we were at a terrible quandary because time was tick, tick, ticking away. Airplane was leaving. Do I need to buy a ticket and go home with my family because God said, no, don't go to India? This became a reality to me. And somehow Paul had the sensitivity to know when it was God saying no. But how did he say no? We're not told. The door is closing. I'm having a hard time making it happen. Well, sometimes God wants me to go ahead and endure, push on through. I know that to be true, which is what we ended up doing, making that decision in London. I went to India. Fun story, long story, terrifying story. I had been given instructions, when you get to India, do not leave the airport because you won't get back in. And my soon-to-be friend and brother in Christ, Sibby, said, leave the airport. Well, now I'm in New Delhi, a city of 22 million people, at 12 midnight, coming out to an ocean of dark faces and black hair. And I don't have a clue what Sibby even looks like. God worked it out, and I have journaled that. If you'd like to read the whole journal, you're welcome to it. That's not a problem. But God proved himself. This was not him hindering. You know what it was? It was him saying, trust me. Trust me on this one. And he proved himself faithful one more time. Beautiful story. Okay, hindrances to God's work through us. There's four. I've mentioned three coming out of verse 22. The fourth I want to draw from this passage is the broader historical context. Not the hindrance, but fourth point that I want to share here. I want to walk back into Acts chapter 20. What more is there to learn from this passage? Acts chapter 20 gives us a historical setting leading up to this. Acts 20, verse 1, very simple. Paul had been in Ephesus. There was a riot because of Jesus through Paul. Chapter 20, verse 1, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them, taking his leave of them, he departed to go to Macedonia. So what I want to draw from Romans chapter 15, 22 to 29, is this setting that he mentions. He went into Macedonia. Macedonia is Greece. North part of Greece, you can get up into what used to be Yugoslavia, Serbia, Bosnia, etc., Albania. Okay, right here, have been taking his leave of them, he departed to go to Macedonia. Keep your hand here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I just want to put some little fun pieces together. The Bible does fit together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, so that down in Achaia, down in the southern part of Greece, was the city of Corinth, where there were believers, and he was writing to the church there. Now, brethren, verse 1, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy, their deep poverty, overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. What's he talking about? They gave a big money gift. In fact, they give quite a significant gift of money. Paul needed to go to Macedonia. Now he's past that. He's getting well on his way. And he's writing back to the Corinthians saying, I'm coming to you. You've promised a gift. Make sure that your promise is good. That's what he's saying. I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. And this, not as we'd expected, for they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And it continues on about giving as an example from the Macedonians. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Make it easy to find chapter 21. 2016, first of all, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So now he's got a gift of money from the Macedonians and the Corinthians. He's on a ship. He's met with the Ephesian elders, or he's about to, verse 17 and following. And he's intending to go to Jerusalem with the gift for the saints. But he wants to be there by the day of Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? 50 days after the resurrection. Right? He's hurrying to get there for the day of Pentecost. Chapter 21. 15. And after these days, we got ready and started on our way up to Jerusalem. So now he's on that part of the continent. Some of the disciples from Caesarea came with us, taking with us Mnason, there's a word, M-N-A-S-O-N, Mnason of Cyprus, a disciple of long standing with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So they've made it to Jerusalem. Historical setting. Paul had written already to the Romans saying, I'm hoping to come to you on my way to Spain, but I have to go to Jerusalem first. I'm going to be coming to see you, and I'm looking forward to that blessing. But he did not have a clue how he would get to Rome. They didn't have a clue how he would get to Rome. By the way, if you've never read about how he got to Rome, read 21 through 28 of Acts. Paul ends up being beaten, in jail, and then in prison down in Caesarea for several years, forgotten about, on a ship, shipwrecked, one of three shipwrecks, landed on an island where he was bringing some wood to a fire, and a pit viper came out and bit him, and he didn't die. The natives concluded he was a god. He finally ended up on a ship that landed at Rome with no paperwork to accuse him on the way. It got really wet back there at the shipwreck, I'm thinking. This guy was feeling like he'd been hauled through a meat grinder. But he was finally at Rome. You need that history to understand who Paul is, what he had done, the price that he paid, and these people now receiving him when he finally got to Rome. But here in the letter, back to Romans 15, here in the letter, he said, for this reason, I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, there's nobody else to preach to right now. I'm on my way. And since I have had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, but had no idea what was in the parentheses in between. For I hope to see you in passing and may be helped by you on my way there to Rome by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints, from Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Do you see how the context fully fits? The history comes together, latches together wonderfully. Yes, and they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared their spiritual blessing, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this task, delivering this bundle of money to the poor saints in Jerusalem who've been persecuted and need the support, when I have finished this task and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, for the love of God and in the name of Jesus, here it is, I'm turning to Rome. That's what he's saying here at the end. I will go on by way of you to Spain. There are some that would argue that he never got to Spain. And my searchings and the study that I can do from tradition and so forth, he got to Spain. I believe he did. He was under house arrest in Rome when he first got there. Didn't expect to go to Rome with that in front of him. But that's what God had worked out. He went on from there to Spain, and when he came back, he was arrested again, and this time, they cut his head off. That's the history. He's saying at this point, when I've finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. There is confidence that he is where he needs to be. There is confidence that God is putting his blessing on him. He's moving ahead. And you'd wonder, is that a blessing? Beaten many times, shipwrecked, snake bite, you know? The blessing of God is on him. That guy who is a servant of Paul, enduring all of this. And he is going to bring with him that full blessing of Christ to them. Wow. One more little element I'm going to bring out after I open up for interaction. Paul, in writing to Rome, don't miss the last part. What thoughts have I conjured up so far?
Well, my main one is, when do I know which is which?
I wish I had the pill to give you. I don't know. And so what am I told to do? I'm told to pray. I'm told to trust. And as I move forward, God is able to direct me. Every time. I might feel like I'm lost. He is not lost. Lord, what is it? Is this Satan closing the door? Or are you saying no? Keep moving forward and see what the Lord has. Got to go there. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm just curious. Technically, we don't have an indication that he knew that at the moment. He's probably just putting one foot in front of the other one, following the Lord. And then in retrospect, he can say, oh, the Holy Spirit prevented me, or man, Satan prevented us.
That's the last element I'm going to touch here in just a moment. Thank you. It's perfect.
So just how you're saying, we don't know what God's going to do for us and how we're going to get to where we want to go. It's kind of reminding me of how, like, you're in the car, you know, and you're like, you don't know their directions, but your passenger does. He's holding the map. So you're kind of relying on him, like, okay, so where do I go now?
Okay. I like the illustration. We haven't said really anything about this idea of money and gifts, but ever since Acts chapter 5, we see those who had finances giving to those who are without and in need. We see it here in this great gift. We see it through church history. Giving is part of what a servant does. And by the way, this isn't some ad for bucks for a point or whatever. But when God puts something on your heart and you got the ability to go, follow it through. And there's a reason for that. I have yet to see a $100 bill floating out of heaven. Doesn't come that way typically. Maybe it could. But God has blessed me through people sometimes not knowing the need. And God has blessed other people through me when I didn't necessarily know the need. Sometimes it's finances, and sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's a shirt or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's a giving. It's being open to what the Lord is doing there, not being foolish about it. We're to be stewards about it. And I think it needs to be done prayerfully. And when we have a need, Lord, we got a need. I've got some needs I'm praying about right now. And that's not a hint. And it's not about finances. So the last point I want to bring out is where we haven't read yet. Verse 32. So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God. What's he saying there, Michael? By the will of God. Here's my plan. Here is my hope. I long to see you. I've longed to see you for years. It's my plan. I've been hindered so far. I've got a work to do. It's my plan, and I'm coming if God is willing. Crucial. It was the Lord's will, not the way it happened that Paul knew about. It was God's will that he got there. Yes, he suffered on the way. And that was all within the will of God. No question, I misspoke just a moment ago. That was God's will. That was not Paul's will. That's how it worked out. And he lived to write about it. He lived to tell about it. And for us, you know, for us, can I truly say I have this longing, this heart's desire, this is my big plan, if God is willing? That's the crux point. If God is willing. Any other thoughts?
Well, your comment about your travels in Europe and having to make a decision. And as I look back over my life, and there's been some of those decisions, and I don't know what to do. And you say, you trust in the Lord and do the next thing you know is the right thing to do. And often that leads to the next step, leads to the next step that you couldn't have seen at the beginning. And sometimes I come to the point where it's like, well, I think this is the best option here. And then my prayer is, Lord, you know, if this isn't what you want me to do, it's easy enough for you to stop me. So.
Yes.
I have a new example of that. It's been my sister. She had to have a liver transplant. It's in very, very early days of those. In fact, only a couple had been done. And, you know, it was a huge decision. And she just didn't know what to do. So she said, she prayed and said, Lord, it's in the middle of the winter. Lord, if this is what you want me to do today, put a woman in my path that has yellow clothes on,
wow,
head to foot, in the middle of winter, and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so she's in the doctor's office. The lady comes in, shoes, purse, mohair, yellow.
I don't remember hearing that story.
Cool story.
Go ahead.
I think, to me, it's looking at the hindrance is not the definition of stop sign.
The what?
It's not a stop sign. It's a hindrance you have to recognize. Could be, but don't make every hindrance a stop sign.
Good.
Get stale.
Good. Marcia?
I think about Paul when, before he came to the Lord, and he was a man who commanded attention, he controlled his situation, he had people coming to him, he didn't go chasing after them, and how the Lord changed him over all of those years that I don't think the original Paul would have been dancing around shipwrecking or being bitten by a snake. He'd send some flunky to go do that. But instead, he became humble before God for whom? For those that really meant nothing. And it's amazing to me that if God could take a person like that who loves, who had control and was in control, and then can talk to a person like me who wants to be in control, he really does know. He had the advantage, I think, he knew, was able to like look back on things and say, he's brought me this far, why not trust me to take me one step further?
Yeah, good.
Right, and yeah, it's not, people need to understand, it's not about that liver transplant working. It's about God here and now today. It's not about the Apostle Paul making it there and not getting his head cut off. You know, because that happened. It's about
God's will.
Day by day, being that he can be there for us.
Perfect. So a fun little idea here. I used to climb rocks. And shared some of that with you in the past, in fact, recently, about mountain climbing. But something about watching people at a distance climbing a sheer face that you cannot understand because you're not there. It looks like sheer as an ice cube. What you can't see is what they can see close to them, the next handhold. The next foothold. They can't see the ones after that. Oftentimes there'll be somebody telling them, well, a little to the left, and I've done that with people. A little bit beyond what you can see, yeah, there it is. Grab it. We've got people around us that God uses to direct us. But we've got the Lord squarely in the scripture wanting to face into us. There are things within the scripture about us personally that we need to learn on the way. And this hindrance right now, not a stop sign, I like that. This hindrance right now might be the very place where God is saying, I got something to teach you here. I got something right here for you. It's probably going to be about you. Maybe about him, who knows. But the Lord is directing through the impossible. You guys have made it through what looked like impossible, Mark and Sherry. And there's others here. Impossible. Well, not with our God. Thy will be done. Guide me in your will. That's what I draw from this passage. Thank you, Father, that through all of it, you have not abandoned us. Lord God, you don't take delight when we hurt and squirm. And you were always there with your grace to carry us on through. Thank you that you did that for this brother that we call Paul. You've done that for us. You're doing that in us, through us, for us today. We just sang, thou art worthy. Truly, 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 it's not about us, it's about you. So help us to get out of the way.